Welcome to the My Data Podcast. I'm your host, Molly Schwartz. I'm one of the original members of the My Data movement, and I'm also the convener of the New York City My Data Hub. My Data is a vision and a series of principles and a movement, and it's also a conference. Our objective is to develop awareness of how we as individuals can have more control over the data that describes us and of the data trails that we leave behind us in our everyday lives. You can find more at the movement's website at mydata.org. And we will also be having the third annual My Data Conference this year at the end of August, and you can find more about the conference program at mydata2018.org. In every episode of the podcast, we're talking to a guest about their experience with personal data and privacy. But before that, here's My Data Minute.
Hi, this is John Sparin, head of crew for My Data 2018 conference, and I'm focused on building the friendly My Data volunteer teams which support the event. This is My Data Minute. Welcome. Back on 26th of May, I made a couple of subject access requests, commonly known as SARs, towards companies that hold my information. This returned interesting information and insight that those businesses and their systems were not ready for GDPR. One had included personal information about another person, so a breach under the regulation. Their clever automated response was flawed. One challenge for individuals is that these requests take time and energy, but there are new tools evolving all the time to support such requests. While the spirit and the intention of the regulation gives us citizens new rights, we ourselves are the ones that need to act proactively. Perhaps the challenge still is that there are no killer use cases which encourage us to act. Sharing experiences going forward will be one of the ways to find those new cases. I'm really looking forward to welcoming our conference visitors in August and to the lively discussions around this and other personal data topics. Please enjoy this episode of the My Data Podcast.
Our guest today is Olivier Dion. Olivier is a French entrepreneur who founded his own startup company called OneCub back in 2011. And OneCub is a service that lets people transfer their personal data back to them with the click of a button. And we're really excited to have Olivier here today talking about how his company's technology works and where he sees the personal information management system field going. So how are you doing, Olivier?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm very happy to participate into this project.
Yeah, are you going to be at the My Data conference this year?
Yes, of course. I will be there this summer with you.
Excellent. Yeah, Helsinki in August is fantastic.
Yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit about your origin story, how you got involved in all this in the beginning. It's my understanding that you used to work in the telecommunications industry. So what inspired you to leave that industry and go into personal information management?
Okay, so I'm 34, and I'm a telecommunication engineer. And my my first job was in the customer relationship management industry. I was working for a big electricity provider in France, and I was asked to move a huge quantity of personal data for my my clients into big databases, and I was wondering, not just me, but we had discussions with my colleagues about the fact that we were building cables for personal data to move, and we weren't seeing consent, proper consent for this data movement. In fact, it was birth date. The birth date of a huge part of France was moving from a company to another, and it looked weird. It was 10 years ago. I was a junior. It was the beginning of my career. But I was really asking myself about how things would go. So I started to dig for some solution about it. And I came to the vendor relationship management community based in the US with DocSearns. So it's the VRM community. And they were proposing solutions, frameworks for people to manage their data by themselves, to empower people with their data. So this was a fascinating idea to me. Apart from this, I was also involved in the open data community in France. So this looked to me kind of the same direction, and I was fascinated by it. And so I started my company in 2011, which was very early, too early for this subject. And I started to go and see big companies in France to tell them about VRM and people empowerment, and to ask for them to play this game. And of course, they didn't want it. So I entered the first group in France called the Mesinfo project, My Data in French. And we started to discuss this with other startups in France and with the French regulator, the French CNIL. And this was 2013, so the very kind of the beginning of the GDPR discussions, which took a very long time to happen. And then we progressed to the point where we are today. So we are post-GDPR now. And now we've got a very powerful tool, which is Article 20 and the new rights for data portability. So we struggled for years before into this mess, this personal data mess. And now with GDPR, we've got powerful tools like Article 20, but not only. I would say that the key aspect of GDPR is consent, is basing relationships between people and their organizations on consent. And this is the topic of today. Consent is the topic of nowadays. But the future, to me, within GDPR, is data portability. People have a new right, so they can get back their data from their services and send this data to other services. But right now, what we see a few weeks post GDPR, what we see is, at least in France, is that people do not really activate this new right. To me, of course, there is no use case. There are no use cases attached to this new right. That's the problem. They don't know, they don't understand the use of it. And it was not explained to them, and companies do not propose them yet clever ways to use their data by themselves. So that's what we are working on. So we built of course prototypes in the past. We had tools, but it never really took off. And since GDPR, we tried to use Article 20 to propose a new experience for data portability. We've got beliefs around the way it could happen. For us, it has to be useful for people, and it has to be well integrated into everyday services for people in general. It doesn't have to to make them move away from their habits. It has to be very an everyday thing. And the thing is, you have to picture the general idea of portability. Portability would mean that people would be able to make their data circulate easily in a fluid manner from one service to another. So it's a totally different world. No silos anymore. You're not trapped with the service. You click and you move your data from there to there. What bug companies that I met in the past years is that the first thing they think about when they hear the word portability, they think about competition portability. They have in mind the mobile phone portability. So I want to switch my telecommunication operator and I make my mobile phone number portable to the new operator, which has a great effect. It makes me as an individual freer to move from one company to another. It's great. Nobody would say it's not today. But companies, of course, do not want it. They fear the competition. So the first thing is to reassure them about the fact that exactly like it happened in the telecommunication world, people are free to move from your company to the competitor, but they are also free to move from the company competitor to you. So there is a balance at some points.
Yeah, that's funny to me. They were all thinking about portability as people leaving their services.
Exactly. They don't think the other way around.
Right.
But the thing is, portability, so this was a key aspect. Of course, the ancestor of portability is the 2004 mobile phone number portability. So this was the key aspect. But the thing is, with exactly the same tool, data portability, you could interconnect services all together through data portability. And those services do not have especially to be competitors. You could build a new kind of portability that we could call complementary portability.
So it's almost like a service that would operate on top of the other services rather than it just being something that people are choosing either this company or that company. This would be something that would operate on like a different layer.
This would just mean that you are on any kind of service, processing any kind of personal data, and you say, okay, from this service, I want this data to move to this other service. The other service is not especially a competitor. It can be, but it's not especially a competitor. It can be a complementary service from the first one. I will illustrate that through use cases. The important thing is use cases. If there are no use cases, people won't ask for portability. There is no point in doing this. So
yeah,
imagine
how it can happen. Yeah.
I will tell you about a few use cases we are working on. So imagine that your grocery purchases. You do this. You shop online, grocery purchases, and you say, okay, from now on, I want my tickets, my orders to be moved. They can be synchronized to, for instance, a health coach that will dig into my shopping list and say, okay, you've got health problems because you eat junk food, for instance. This is the first example. You can have recipes. Websites, you move your data to your grocery shop data to your recipe website to your doctor if you want.
Yeah.
Things like this. And another domain. Let's take another domain. Like what was presented in the text about data portability, in the official text, was music playlists. From your music streaming websites. So the first thing is competition portability. You have to be able to switch from one platform to another and embark your playlists with you. This is the first use case. But you can also make your playlist portable with a dating website in order to find people that would match with you about music tastes, and you could also make your playlist portable to a concert ticket service that will warn you when some artist is in your town next month. So and it works the same way. Right? So it's an opportunity for companies, either competition portability or complementary portability. They are both opportunities to innovate. They don't fully understand that right now. I can understand the GDPR was a huge step for many companies in Europe. And the first thing they do is they try to see that if inside their CRM, inside their information system, everything is okay first before thinking about what they will do by sending their data outside. So this is normal. It's very new. GDPR is very new, and it's a step-by-step process. But the thing is, data portability, from what we've seen in France, companies either don't understand data portability or they fear it. We are trying to show them that it's an opportunity.
Yeah, this idea of complementary services definitely could unlock big data sets that are more accurate for companies in a lot of ways. Like, it could give people more real-time good data about what people are doing in the complementary industry, so it could all work together. But I am wondering, what's been your experience trying to facilitate data portability as an outside player, like as an outside company? Were you ever tempted to try to implement some VRM concepts from within, like from within the telecommunications company? And what has it been like trying to be a player coming from the outside?
It's really, really tough. It's tough for us. It's tough for our startup competitors. We talk together a lot. It's really, really complicated. We are not trying to sell to companies an extra service. It would be a key service for them. So there are huge barriers, strategic barriers, for companies to ask for a small startup to manage such an important aspect of their business. So it's very, very complicated. So we try to move step by step, and we try to understand companies' barriers in their mind, what they think, what do they fear. We're trying to get the key aspects of their limitations. And there are many, many answers, but how we manage this, it's not ready yet. It's not, we could not say that data portability happened already, but it's the same all over the place, all over Europe. You don't see huge data portability use cases. So we worked a lot on user experience. We work a lot on contracts about our service. The position, when we transfer data from one service to another, service A to service B, we have to define precisely what we will do in the process. And we have to reassure service A and service B about what we will do. In our case, what we say is that we are just a channel for data portability. We just transport data. So the only service we can provide to the end user is portability. No advertising, no additional service. We are a cable, only a cable. So this is how we answer this fear.
Are you not storing any data? You're not acting.
We are storing, but the only thing we can do with it is make it portable to another service. And so this is very important. It reassures service A and service B. Got right it. Now we have to store it, but I will tell you a bit further. The idea in the end is not to store anything anymore, just the keys, the access keys for your data. But we have to move with legacy systems. We have to move with what exists already. So right now, if there are no cables, we build it. And in the process, in the meantime, we store data. But we don't really want it. Right. The only thing we want to store is users' will, what users want to do with their data. But we have to make with what we have today.
Definitely. It's almost like building an entire new infrastructure. It reminds me of like when you're laying cables to make the internet work around the world. It's doing
exactly. To me, what we are building us with other privacy tech startups is kind of the personal data layer for the web. And it's of course really complicated, but yes, we don't want to be another service that will create a new silo. That's not the point. Concerning the barriers that big companies in general have, there is also the UX, user experience aspect. So what we say is that We propose, so thanks to GDPR, companies will have to propose ways to export your data from any service. What we say to companies is that, okay, you can, if you want, and you would be compliant with GDPR, you can propose an Excel spreadsheet containing data to the user. It's okay, you're compliant. The thing is, people won't really use this to do something with that data. We get to go further than GDPR. We get to propose them ways to just click and transfer data and to sync data from service A to service B. So we propose to companies to plug our service to their export button. We plug it and the user clicks on the export button and he sees, so he is into service A website, he's on the website for service A, export button, and then there is a list of services B, where he can send his data to. So he chooses the service to send the data. He clicks, then a pop-up appears, and we take user's consent for data portability. If he has no OneCube account, he creates one, single sign-on, it's very easy. And we open the service B. He connects to service B, and we move data from service A to service B. So our the user experience we propose is fully integrated into from service A to service B, and we work with mostly with just with pop-ups integrated into these services.
Right, so you'd stay on someone else's website, like you'd be on yes. your email account, or you'd be on your shopping site, the store's site that you're going to, and it will just be a pop-up button, and you click yes, the drop-down, exactly. and then you're immediately transferring your data.
We don't take the user attention away from his services. I think, to me, it's very important.
That makes sense. And I also can see, I mean, I think we've seen with the open data movement how just giving people spreadsheets that they can download, just giving them the machine-readable data, a lot of people aren't really going to do anything with that unless they immediately can do see what they can do with that data, unless you're giving them that.
They don't see it. They don't see it. We have to propose them. But it makes a huge difference from Excel spreadsheet to what we propose, is that we propose data portability based on user's consent. So we use another aspect of GDPR, which is user's consent. When you export your Excel spreadsheets, service A has no clue, absolutely no clue, about how you will use the data. You just export your Excel spreadsheet. That's all. And maybe you will re-import it later. In the experience we propose, the user, when he transfers data, will transfer it with a very specific use case, finality. It's a different interpretation. It's a very specific interpretation of data portability. But that's, we are not just sticking to the text. We are trying to find a user experience that people will make use of.
Right.
Otherwise, right. there is no point in doing all of this. If only if less than 1% people activate their data portability new rights through an Excel spreadsheet, I'm not interested in doing this. It's not empowering people.
I would like to talk actually a little bit about what you call the PIMS, My Data VRM community. First of all, can you tell me what PIMS stands for? And also, is it a supportive community overall? Like, what's it like working with a group of startups all in the same area?
So we are on an emerging market. So we are trying to find the good terms. And it's so exciting to be a part of it. The US and many European countries are moving in the same direction at the same moment. But we use different terms for exactly the same thing. So from what I've heard, I started with the VRM community, Vendor Relationship Management. But the thing is that in the European texts, in the guidelines for portability, Europe talked about PIMS. So PIMS stands for Personal Information Management Systems. So as it is in the text, we use it a lot. And then there are movements like MyData, and there are other communities. So we are part of one of these communities in France, in France now, which is called the Privacy Tech Community. It's related. It's not always exactly the same, but the purpose is the same, is empowering people with their data, giving people more control and more abilities. And I've also heard about self-data. But my data seems very straightforward to me, very simple, understandable. So it's great to me. There's no problem. But the thing is, it's exactly this. There is no one genius in some place building something outstanding. It's communities that group together at some point that manage to work together. That's how we get attention. And I think we have it, thanks to GDPR, we have it now. The thing now is to make it more real to end users, to people, through use cases, and also through standards.
Hi, my name is Teemu Ropponen. I work for the MyData Conference, in particular with our great partnerships. I'd like to remind you that the MyData 2018 conference is just around the corner. At the end of August, up to 800 people will gather in Helsinki, Finland. We're lined up for over 130 speakers in over 50 sessions, half a dozen side events on the day leading up to the conference. It's a truly co-created conference with people from all over the world gathering to look at the future of personal data from business, legal, tech, and societal angles. As a listener of this podcast, you'll probably like it, but why don't you see for yourself? Study the program and get your pass at mydata2018.org. We make it happen. We make it right. Now, back to the podcast.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about what standards you all are using to build out your service. Is there any specific like standards or consent protocols that you all are building your tech off of?
In the French privacy tech community, so we are about 30 French startups already in this field.
30, wow.
Not only about portability, about consent, identity, etc., etc. So it's moving fast right now. We are all discussing the same topics, so we thought it would be great to gather and talk about standards. So we will open at the beginning of July an open innovation initiative to work on data portability standards, and broader than that, we will have to talk about consent standards. Each small startup goes to a big group and propose a proprietary solution. That's mostly what happens today. There are some standards, for instance, about UX. I've seen the Open Knowledge Foundation proposed standards that we will use. But the overall process is a total mess right now. And a small startup cannot propose by itself to a big group a solution, a privacy solution. I don't see it happening. So to me, we won't see one startup emerge and be alone the winner-take-all thing. But what can emerge would be a new standard for personal data in general, with consent, identity, portability, etc. And there are some initiatives in Europe and in the US also right now. We will, with the privacy tech community, we want to participate into the debate, and it has to be an open debate, connected to the Finnish ecosystem, the English one, the German one, etc. I've seen around the 25th of May some standard propositions happening, like the one from Google, the one from Microsoft, the one in the car industry from a German consortium. And there are many initiatives, either proposed by big American players or by consortiums with specialists in their domain. I think we are powerful enough right now in Europe, the small actors in Finland, France, England, Germany, Spain, etc., to propose these new standards. We are specialists. If banks propose a standard, they are just specialists about banks, not about personal data, about privacy, etc., etc. So that's what we are trying to do right now. I know that the same is happening in England, and we stick together. We talk with the Germans, and this summer I will try to talk about it. And I would really like my data, let's call it the my data global community, to be the one that acts as a leader and propose standards, not just this startup or this startup, but that sets the standard.
Right. So that's fascinating that you're saying that you think that the community as a whole needs to work toward a like coordinated cooperative standard, but that doesn't exist yet. You don't see like UMA or OAuth or any of these.
There are things too industry specific. To me, there will be a personal data layer, a new layer for the web, and why not building it as specialists? And it won't be a winner take all thing. It would be proposed by specialists. The regulator pushed GDPR and will try to enforce GDPR. This is their role. Their role is not, to me, to propose technological solutions, protocols, governance system. We also have to think, if there is a personal data layer like W3C, we also have to think about a new kind of governance for this. Does not belong to this company or this company. It belongs to the community, and we have to say how it works. It's a complicated topic, but I think we are in a good position as a MyData community to propose something.
Speaking of having to decide the governance of the protocol and this idea that you're involved a lot in contracts with data portability, have you been using blockchain technologies at all?
Yeah, we will make public our open innovation project with the French privacy tech in a few days now. We didn't talk about blockchain into this open innovation project, but it's obvious that it's the technological answer that we would like to work on when you see the call for participants. But we wanted to focus on needs, barriers, requirements. Why is data portability so hard? It's a trust problem, it's a cost problem, and so on. So we focused on these aspects. And apart from this, we will try to propose blockchain solutions. We will try to do this, not alone, but with other privacy tech aspect startups. And we've seen some very, very interesting initiatives that goes to this direction. But the project we want to make public is first to gather big players and startups to talk about their needs, what would make for them portability easier. We want to have a discussion with them first. Then we will propose blockchain. But for we started to talk with them about this standardization ID. They like it, but when we say blockchain, some of them like it more, some of them just stop the discussion there.
Because it's frightening, or they don't understand
it? Because it's frightening. Why blockchain? It's perfect for this. We are talking about a decentralized problem. There are many, many issues to tackle if we want to try it with blockchain. Some projects in Europe and in the US are already advanced on this, and they are proving that it's possible. I planned on going to Finland to talk about this also. The thing is, for instance, if we want to get some funds from Europe, we have to gather different countries. We want to connect to other initiatives like this in Europe, and my data would be perfect for it. And I talked to the English community about this, and we were talking about where would be the governance for such a personal data layer. It seems to us that the My Data initiative is the more advanced community right now in Europe for this.
Definitely. I think that's something that My Data has been really strong doing, as you say, is kind of this community building. It's getting like a shared understanding about what people are working toward and setting up little hubs around that are have
exactly
all working toward this. Yeah.
I think I also think that you have to let those hubs work locally, because they know their market, they know specific cultural barriers from this business or this business. So they have to work locally with their local players, but at the same time, they have to be connected through the hub. What we don't want is each startup proposing something different, or it won't happen.
Right. Yeah, we have to work together to build a new system. I am wondering, though, is there anything about GDPR as it stands now that you wish was different?
No, it's not that I wish it was different, but for the aspect of GDPR, I know best is Article 20. And for instance, Article 20 is, there are a lot of discussions about it. Companies are trying to avoid it a lot, don't understand it, et cetera, et cetera. But it's normal. We've got to propose standards, technologies, et cetera. The market itself has to propose something. This something will either be, I'm sure it will happen, but this something will either be one big company proposing something to everyone or one standard. And this is where the text stops. We have someone has to propose a standard or a company will take it all. And so it's not a, Article 20 is not perfect, but it's enough for me. It's a starting point, it's a tool. I struggled for years to talk about empowerment, data, personal data circulation, et cetera, use cases. It was horrible. It was impossible. We didn't get the ear of the good people. We have it now. They gave us enough to move. It's great. It's enough for me. I don't. I'm not a lawyer. We work with lawyer regularly, on a regular basis. But yes, it's not perfect. Some companies try to attack the text. It would be on some aspects. It will be very complex to enforce, to apply. Let's see. I don't know. It's up to us to use this tool and to turn it into something great. People complain, or right now people just complain about the mails, the tons of emails they received following GDPR, but it's just the initialization phase. So companies have to try to digest it, to understand a way to propose a new user experience that fits with it. And people have to understand their new power and ability with consent, and I hope later with portability, but it will just take some time to adjust. I do not worry about this.
Can you tell me, with your work with OneCube, give me one use case that you were kind of the most excited about, that you think was the most
important? Okay, so right now we just have one small use case, which is great. It's bartering. I don't know if you say bartering.
Yeah, bartering. Yeah.
Bartering platform, and you take back all your e-commerce purchase data, and you send it to the bartering platform, So in one click, you barter
okay.
things you purchased before. This is what's live right now. It's our beta test. It works well. It's great. Now, but to me, the best use case is imagine you are in your car and you activate synchronized data portability to your carpooling platform. It implies that each time you take your car and you enter into your GPS a new itinerary, this itinerary is sent to the carpooling platform, and you can be, if you want it, of course, based on consent, you can be informed if someone can be taken on your trip. It makes everyone a carpooler each time they take their car. So it would have a huge impact. So that's my favorite one. Turning everyone into a carpooler would be great.
That's like a distributed Uber. It's like doing what
exactly
pretends they're doing, but in a truly distributed way.
It's Uberpool. But the thing is, you're not based on a specific platform or a specific car manufacturer. Through data portability, it's from any car manufacturer or any GPS app to any carpooling platform.
And then once you have that in place, then when we have driverless cars, then it's a whole new ballgame.
I think, it's that's a different question. But I think when we'll have automatic cars, it will be like this. One car will move his way through the city and will take one people there and drop this person at this point, takes another one, et cetera, et cetera.
I think that's a really nice note to end on, actually. I'm really looking forward to seeing you in Helsinki, and I'm excited to see what comes of some hopefully effective standards conversations.
Yes.
I hope that can really happen. Can you tell me where people can find you?
Olivier at onecube, or onecube, but with no E, dot FR.
Dot FR. Okay, so it's Olivier at one O-N-E.
cube.fr.
Great, cool.
And I will make the link with the French privacy tech community.
Thank you so much for joining. I hope everything's good. You're in Lyon right now?
It's a lot about we have to communicate more. We have to make people understand what we are doing. It's a complicated topic. So this is a key aspect of it, the hub. Is really important. It's not just about technology or law. It's also about education, about what we are trying to do.
Definitely, definitely. Cool. Well, thank you, Olivier. It was a pleasure talking.
Thanks a lot. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you for listening to the My Data podcast. The My Data conference takes place in Helsinki, Finland, August 29th to 31st, 2018. Find out more on this year's conference website at mydata2018.org. The show notes and video versions of this podcast are available on the MyData Global Network website at mydata.org. You can contact us via email at podcast@mydata.org or on Twitter @mydata.org. We thank the Metropolitan New York Library Council for letting us record in their studio at 599 11th Avenue in New York City. Music is by David Cutter Music and Joachim Karud. This podcast is copyright My Data 2018. The My Data podcast was produced by me, Gianfranco Cicconi. The host was Molly Schwartz. Video and audio are available for redistribution under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License version 4.0 International. See you next time.